Sunday!
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 It's Mother's Day!
Sunday.
Families from around the country celebrate Mom!
Don't miss the homemade breakfast by kids!
The spilling!
The burnt pancakes!
The undercooked eggs!
Mother's Day!
Sunday!
See moms in restaurants!
Waiting for a table on the busiest day of the year!
And don't forget about flower deliveries!
$5 worth of flowers for $75!
Mother's Day cards drawn by four-year-olds!
Phone calls from grown kids from out of state
asking for money!
And don't miss the dad's worthless attempt at household chores!
Remember to say, I love you!
Mother's Day!
Sunday!
That's right, 4 days until Mother's Day. Don't forget that one. And you know, the strangest thing to me about Mother's Day is, well, Father's Day, if dads always get ripped off. They get like a coffee cup or something like that. Mom's Day, you know, it's, all to the wall. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you got to be doing it. So get it together. And it's so true. The Mother's Day is the biggest restaurant day of the year. And we're already lined up to do that. I'm going home to see my mother. I'm taking the red eye on Friday night.
And, oh, look at you.
Yes, I haven't seen her for a year, so we'll see how that goes. And you know, this is, I don't know about you. Where do your parents live?
Maine.
Okay, well,
They're very close.
Pennsylvania, yeah. Right. So red eye to Chicago at midnight and then off over to Harrisburg.
Okay.
But I don't know if anything ever changes for you. God love them. God bless them. But we've already, you know, my sister and the family already have the agenda lined up. So when you get here, we're doing this. And then Sunday, we're doing this. And then we've got this to do and this to do and this to do. It's like,
well, their time,
everybody's shaking their head. No, this is it. No.
Their time with you is very limited. So they want to get as much out of it possible.
I know. Well, the good news is they're getting used to me not wanting to do much of anything. So.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And by the way, that's what moms want. Yeah, I just had where's my listicle here on what moms really want? Oh, by the way, while I'm looking, Julia Roberts made $3 million for 4 days of work. Julia Roberts only did 4 days worth of work on the new movie Mother's Day. And guess how much they made her? $3 million. That's $750,000 a day.
Cha-ching.
Yeah. And I have to remind everybody that I think he works with Ron, too. Tim Sika from the San Francisco. He's the president of Film Circle Critics. He said, and I've never heard him say this. I've been working with him for a year and a half. He said it is the worst movie he's ever seen. And this guy has had to have seen thousands of films. He said, just take a fistful of needles and stick them into my eyeballs. It's that freaking bad.
Yeah.
He said, do not fall into Hollywood's little scam. I love this story came up today that she made $3 million in 4 days because that's what it is. It's one big piece of garbage.
I hope she had direct deposit for that check to make it even easier to cash it, right?
Jeez, dude. And then they wander. I mean, obviously, they did it for a paycheck, and then here's how they get you. They launch it a couple weekends before Mother's Day, thinking, well, you know, you're going to take it. Yes. What else is on the list? Take mom to see Mother's Day. No, don't. Remember what I keep saying. I'm going to keep repeating it. If you take your mother to see Mother's Day, she's going to flash back to the day that you popped out of her, and she's going to wish that she would have dropped you on your head.
I mean, it sounds
to
nice.
To knock some common sense into you, not to take her to such a horrific
It's
movie.
Star-studded. It's full of all
yes.
kinds of great Hollywood stars.
Julia Roberts and, who else did we talk about? America's Sweetheart. Jennifer Aniston.
Of course.
Yeah.
Kate Hudson.
Right. So you would think. Yeah.
Expectations would be high.
Okay, what's my mom really want? She wants to go on a picnic.
Really?
No. Look, the bottom line is 71% of mothers want some alone time on Mother's Day. Oh, well, good luck with that if you're a mom.
Yeah, you'll never get left alone.
You don't get left alone on Mother's Day. I have to tell you.
Should have thought that that before conception, right?
Right, yeah. Kids feel this deep, deep commitment to have to do something for Mother's Day. I mean, that river runs really deep. Yes, that's a big chasm. Having a relaxing breakfast in bed. Yeah, that always sounds good, but that's messy. Do you breakfast in bed?
Never.
Never.
Yeah, never.
Who has ever eaten breakfast in bed? Yeah, like hotel restaurants, yes, I'd like to call and have a room service, bring it up and with the Eggs Benedict, and that's all nice. But I don't lay there in bed and eat it. that messes up my 800 count thread sheets.
Well, and then you have to clean the sheets, and yeah, it's a mess.
They want to watch a movie or a TV show. Well, okay. Number one, they want to go to a spa. I think spas make out like
well, all those things are, if you think about it, kind of time alone.
Right.
Going to a spa, going to a movie.
Especially if you're a young mother. Oh, when's too old to be a mother? When's too old to have a baby?
I don't know. I was just going to throw out a random number, 50.
Miss Jackson, if you please, let's get nasty. Apparently something did. It's the pregnant principal. She's 50 and she is trexpecting.
Wow.
She's got a bun in that oven. Janet Jackson has finally confirmed what's pretty much been clear since she pulled out of her world tour. She's knocked up. Her and her husband, Wilson, I don't even know this guy. According to ET, will be having a baby. They're planning their family. So good for them. Congratulations. But I just wonder, I don't know if it's in vitro. I guess that's none of our business. But I often wonder with these older pregnancies, and God, I remember, who was it? Tony Randall. Remember Tony Randall and Jack Klugman when they did the old couple, the old Odd Couple? I know that there's a new Odd Couple running on CBS or something now, but the original Odd Couple. Wasn't Tony Randall like late 70s when he was having children? I'm sorry. I just have to call it the way I calls it the way I sees it. That's just selfish.
Well, yeah, because that
is in his case. Now, I'm not
going to be 90 by the time your kids graduate high school.
He's not going to be here, and guess what? He isn't. Yeah, I don't know. Now,
but she'll 50's be 50. Not, she'll 50's be 50. Not as bad.
No, I don't think 8080810. When is enough enough? When's too old? Old? I don't know. 8080810. I'm just curious. I think she's fine. Look, here's the ding. Here's the ding a ding ding thing. With Janet, the child's. It's not like this is going to be a sacrifice. And it's not like the child is not going to be living in a world of privilege with nannies and doing all changing of diapers and all of those things. But I mean, for the average person, for the average 50-year-old, my God.
Well, you just think about changing
working,
your...
I want to go home to bed. I don't want to go home to a screaming kid.
Well, and think about changing your sleeping habits, all that. You're going to be waking up at 3 and 4 in the morning to feed your...
Maybe not Janet Jackson.
But if you're the average 50.
If you're the average, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I mean, and then, so when the kid's in junior high, she'll be 65, 66.
Getting that retirement card.
Right. I don't know.
Or maybe she'll still be touring because she needs to keep her lifestyle up and pay for college and all that.
I have to tell you, this is a weird story, but I have to share because I think it's right on point. So back when I went to, I don't know, probably junior high, there was this kid who was a buddy of mine. And his mother was 50 or in her 50s, right? And we all thought it was his grandma.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, you know, when you're 12, 13, 14, and somebody's pulling up in their 50s, well, that's grandma or grandpa. Then when we found out that it was the kid's mother. Now, I'm a nice guy. I didn't. I'm not the bullying type. But the rest of them. Hey, what time's your grandma showing up?
Oh, yeah, he must have gotten, that must have just, like, ruined his school experience.
I know, right? But here's the weird thing, here's the weird thing about, you know, being in your 50s now, is I still feel the same. And I think you could, if you are, you probably think the same thing, too. I don't think any different. Well, I do know some things that I shouldn't do anymore. How to keep myself out of trouble for the most part. Yes. Put brain in gear. Before pressing the pedal to the floor. I mean, I do get all of those things. The pregnant principal. All right, well, she's 50, and I suppose. And, you know, I want to talk to Pat Thurston because she has triplets. I wonder how that works. That's got to keep her busy.
I bet.
We'll talk to her at some point in the future here. I want to discuss that. Okay. Are we talking to Allison next, or is that...
Yeah, Allison Treasel.
Oh, we're going to talk about the Prince. There's breaking news on the Prince front. Yes, this doctor, there's a connection in Marin County with a recovery place, and there's a criminal defense attorney now who's defending the doctor's son, and all yada, 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 on and on and on. Big story today. So we'll talk to Allison Treasel about that, And what was the other thing we were going to ask Allison about? There's so many interesting stories.
You're going to ask her about Sean Penn?
Right.
And his defamation
lawsuit, $100 million against Lee Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Sean Penn filed a $100 million lawsuit against Lee Daniels for defamation of character.
Yeah, and Johnny Manziel, too.
Mr. Football.
Remember him?
What happened to that guy? I mean,
in another year,
so
we're not
going to
remember him.
I know. All right, let's take the break, and we've got a lot to get to tonight, including Lisa Durden at 8, who always rocks and rolls the waves of the air. On the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. With a look at traffic, here's Mr. Lee Graham.
KGO 810 traffic.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. I welcome my next guest, Allison Triesel, criminal defense attorney, and her website is wildabouttrial.com. Well, I knew we'd be speaking again soon, Allison.
And here, unfortunately, there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. So, according to the Star Tribune out of Minnesota today, Prince died amid frantic plans for drug addiction treatment. So, a California doctor, allegedly, the way this goes, out of Marin County, I think, was attempting to intercept him and do intervention. That's right. So he was only a day or two away. He couldn't schedule himself to get in there, so he sent his son. Do you want to pick up the story from there?
Right. So he sends his son, who's not a physician, and the son got there too late because he actually was one of the three people that found Prince in the elevator, who we now believe died of an apparent overdose.
Okay, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and this was the guy who made the 911 call while the dispatcher keeps saying, what's the address? What's the address? What's the address? Now we know he is allegedly the man on the phone who's saying, I don't know, it's Prince's place. It's
right.
Paisley Park. Yeah.
So from what we understand, he had never been there before, and that the staffers that were with him were so hysterical at the sight of Prince that they could not speak. And so he called 911, tried to explain that it was Prince's place, and we all know the tragic result.
Okay.
But so, the questions that are going to, and the attorney has answered some of them, and that is that they, in fact, were given this phone call the night before. They said that there was a grave medical emergency. According to the attorney for Dr. Kornfeld, he said that Dr. Kornfeld told them immediately reach out to a local Twin Cities physician. We don't know if that was ever done to try and stabilize him. And although everybody wants to blame Prince's death on somebody, I don't think there will be any criminal responsibility for this doctor. This doctor was not his treating physician. This doctor most likely did not prescribe Prince any of the opioids. And although we wish that it would have turned out differently and that he would have come immediately, I don't believe there is a doctor-patient relationship there that had been established, which would result in any criminal liability. Now, I am starting to believe, now that the DEA is involved, that they're going to look and see what doctors prescribed what to Prince, in what doses, and had he been doctor shopping? Had he gone to multiple doctors to fill these prescriptions? Were they prescribing it too much, too often? There's been reports that Prince went to Walgreens 4 times, within a week or so. Before his death, we all now know about the
and not always the close one. There was one around the block. He went 6.1 miles or something. It seems that he was going all over the place. And the other question is, I know that they've come into all of those places with search warrants, so they are looking for these doctors and these prescriptions.
Right. So I do believe that there will be a probe. And look, we saw what happened with Conrad Murray. Where Conrad Murray,
yes,
was so enticed by the money and the fame surrounding his patient,
Michael Jackson,
that he didn't act in the patient's best interest.
Well, and did Prince not also have a friendly relationship, a very friendly relationship with a doctor? I mean, hang out together, socialize, all of these things.
And that's what they're going to look into. That's what they're going to look into, because doctors are and you know, going back to Kornfeld a little bit, the questions are always going to be, well, why didn't he get there sooner? Why did he send his son? But I don't believe when this all comes out, I don't believe there is a doctor-patient relationship that had been established, and I don't believe there will be any criminal probe into him. It's a horrible tragedy, and as someone who is in the treatment world, my family runs a drug treatment center, I can only imagine the guilt that this doctor is feeling, and it's a horrible, horrible...
Well, it is a horrible thing. Yeah,
I mean, it's an absolutely horrible thing to think that he, you know, maybe could have done something to prevent this. But I don't think there'll be any criminal liability there.
Okay, back to the Star Tribune. So the problem is today is his son showed up, and apparently, allegedly, he had Suboxone on him, which is to curb the opioid cravings and back somebody down who's on opiates. Okay, so he had them allegedly in his backpack. And he's not a doctor. And so the story...
That's a very different situation.
Right, so was he... And so the story goes today that, you know, I hear this son is trying to say, well, I was going to give it to Prince's doctor so he could have it and he could give it to him. Well...
Right, so he, you know, that's... Now, that may result in a criminal probe, and that is, did he tell anybody when they were discussing it with him that he intended to give it to Prince, which would be a... obviously a problem. You cannot give Suboxone to somebody unless you are a doctor that can prescribe medication. And whose prescription was that he had? Was it a house med that they had that his father, the doctor, gave to him to give to Prince? That could be a problem.
Yeah, so, well, and then the other story goes is all of a sudden they're doing the Ellison Treasel thing, and they got themselves a criminal defense attorney, and he said today, look, the doctor's son cannot be held responsible because of the Good Samaritan law, which allows, and then you cannot charge him for anything, because under the Minnesota Good Samaritan law, he's the one who made the 911 call, which clears him of everything. Now, that's a criminal defense point of view. You're a criminal defense attorney. Does that hold water?
Not in this scenario, because he didn't give a much better argument. He didn't give the opioid, and he didn't give the Suboxone.
No, he just had it on.
He didn't give either.
He didn't have right. But obviously, they're concerned.
So he had it on his person,
right?
And his father, who is one step removed, they have to show that the father gave it to the son with the knowledge and the intent that the son give it to Prince, which I think is going to be a tough connection to make. But the son may be in some hot water. He may be in some hot water for having the Suboxone on his person. He's not a licensed doctor, and he certainly, if he gave a statement to them that he intended to give it to Prince to stabilize him, then he may have some problems.
Well, I really was, I have to tell you, I was a little shocked at this defense today coming out on all the talking heads on television saying, using that 911 Good Samaritan defense. And I'm thinking, I don't know if that's going to work or not. I guess it depends state to state. And that would get, just because he made the 911 call, get him out of all hot water?
Well, so what the Good Samaritan defense is aimed at is you don't want people who are in a drug environment who may have supplied the person with the drugs to leave them there dying because they're too afraid of their own criminal culpability to report it and get the person help.
I see.
So if you can imagine two people using drugs together and one person overdoses and the other person says, oh, no, I'm going to be in a ton of trouble. I'm not going to report this. That's what the Good Samaritan laws were. That's what they were set up to make sure that people would not fear criminal prosecution and they would help the person by calling 911 and getting them some help.
That's really good information. I wish we could repeat the whole thing over again, because I have to tell you, I lost a friend several years ago to an overdose, and it was the exact same thing. The other people in the They were doing some holiday somewhere, and they had some strangers in there, and these people were doing drugs too, and they were afraid to make the call. Turns out they could have gotten away with it, and they wouldn't have been charged anyway because it would have been the Good Samaritan thing.
Right, and that's a very important.
It's a shame people don't know that.
It's a very important law.
Yeah,
it may be diluted here, and this is not the stated purpose of the law, but the law is really to get the person who's overdosed the help that they need,
right?
So that people can say they don't fear prosecution by making that very important call.
That's really good, fantastic. Thank God we had that conversation. Okay, I want to move on to Sean Penn and Lee Daniels and this defamation lawsuit for $100 million. I think some amends were made today. But then let's talk about Johnny Manziel, Mr. Football, coming up here next with Allison Treasel, criminal defense attorney, and her website is Wild About Trial. Everything about trials on Wild About Trial. All right, we'll be back. It's 7:31. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Let's check out the traffic situation with Lee Graham.
KJO 810 traffic.
Need love because I'm just a man.
A lot of things I don't understand. No comprende. How the hell you sue somebody for $10 million over just something they said? I don't know. So first of all, I have to say an apology. I think I said 100 going into this break. Pardon me, it's 10 million. Sean Penn gets an apology from Lee Daniels in the defamation lawsuit settled. Okay, so talk about this, Alan. What the hell was this all about?
I got to tell you, Sean Penn actually had a really good lawsuit. It was a very defamatory statement. They were talking about how Lee Daniels talked about how his friend Terrence Howard had been accused of a physical assault against his wife.
Domestic violence.
And yep. Lee Daniels, in trying to make his point that that African American males are treated differently, brought up Sean Penn and said Sean Penn, who had assaulted his wife, he was never charged with it. And Sean Penn said, wait a minute, I have never, ever had a criminal conviction or anything like that for physical violence. He had Madonna get involved and say that while they had heated discussions, it never rose to the level of physical violence. And does that statement hurt him? And the answer is yes, it was made. It's not a truthful statement. So he had a really good case. He doesn't need the money, thankfully.
Who did he say it to, Allison? Was this just casual conversation, or did he say this to the press?
No, it was an interview.
Oh, okay.
An interview that he gave.
Okay. Yeah,
and so it was written, and it was published, and Lee Daniels, an undisclosed amount of money that he made to Sean Penn's charity for Haiti, and a very sincere, according to Penn's apology, that was accepted, and the case is over.
Okay. Better watch what you say. See, because I think a lot of people would think that that story goes back to the 80s, and I wouldn't know what the answer would be, and I think that a lot of people off the cuff might think exactly what Lee Daniels said. But
see, but that's what Sean Penn's point. That was that it only perpetuates the lie that he was physically abusive,
right,
when in fact
so he
was
wasn't.
Not.
He was not.
Yes.
Yeah. And I saw people trying to find the story today, Googling, and it's not there because it doesn't exist, because he was never charged.
It doesn't exist. I mean, he was known as a bad boy in the 80s, and I'm sure that he and Madonna got into it. But you have to show that this statement is true. And Lee Daniels was not going to be able to do that. So, and is it damaging to his career? Well, you could say, he's a famous person, and a public statement that he is physically abusive. Yes, does it damage his career? Certainly.
It certainly does. I want to ask you about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Kim. She's in trouble again. Is she in trouble for violating her probation?
That is my understanding. I don't know all the details on the case, she's had a real addiction problem.
She really has, and I feel so sorry for her, but I guess she's not completing or allegedly not following through. It's heartbreaking.
But that's not uncommon. That's not uncommon. When they're initially sentenced, there is a lot of grief and remorse and willingness to clean up your act. And as the months pass, and you see this all the time with people on probation, they forget the judge's words, and they are no longer afraid of the criminal justice system, and their addiction means more to them. And that's why you see these multiple probation violations.
Well, and sure, and these Real Housewives have to play out this game, a real-life game of reality show where they're playing and fooling around with each other's lives, and it gets aired, and it's dirty laundry. Look at what happened to the woman in Real Housewives of New Jersey, husband and wife in the pen.
Well, let me talk briefly about that, and then I'll talk about the suicide, too. So in that case, you know, when you're in the public eye, you better make sure that all your taxes are paid up and that you're being honest with Uncle Sam.
Yes. What was her name? Guiducci, I think.
Say it again.
Guiducci.
Teresa Giudice.
That's it. Right. There you go.
Right. So she did her time and then kissed her husband goodbye for him to do his time. And because he is not a U.S. citizen, he actually can get deported.
Oh, didn't know that. Yeah, I thought it was nice that the judge allowed them to split the time to be done for not paying the taxes because of the children.
Yeah, that is not that uncommon either. And they do it really for the best interest of the children. Right. They're not doing it as a break to the parents, but they feel that taking both parents away from the children is so harmful to them. So they'll split it up and they'll have the one spouse do the time first and then the other spouse.
Well, a big difference between addiction and not paying your taxes. We all have to pay taxes.
Well, and they're flaunting how much money they make and how much stuff they have. And you know, all the while, you know, I think there was a bankruptcy fraud claim too. And, you know, they're on TV. They're on TV, which brings me to one of my favorite stories, which was, you know, the dance mom. Before she became the dance mom,
oh sure, yeah,
she had fallen on hard times and she had filed for bankruptcy, and so she was in the bankruptcy court and they were monitoring it. Well, she forgot to share with the judge that she had signed on to the show and was making a fair amount of money, and the judge, who normally wouldn't watch Dance Moms, was channel surfing, saw her,
oh,
and
yikes,
said, "Wait a minute, that woman's in my court." Had his clerk look into it. And sure enough, she had not reported the income correctly. She had had checks from the show written to her mother, and she's in a lot of hot water.
Yeah, and justifiably so, because anybody else would, too. I heard Lady Gaga speaking over the weekend, and she told this story. She goes, "I know I have to pay taxes. I pay taxes. Let me tell you, I've never written a check so big in my entire life. I have to tell you, I cried for a second, and then I went out and I got all liquored up." That's not the exact quote, but a little bit out of context. But that was basically it. It was like, oh my God, I've never seen such a check. But you gotta pay.
It's the way it goes. It's the way it goes. If you're going to be on TV and under the public eye, you got to know that one of those people that is watching is Uncle Sam.
Yep, and you got to pay. All right, Johnny Manziel surrenders in domestic violence case. Mr. Football.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nonstop with him. So he had to turn himself into authorities. Moments ago, I guess today, he was booked for misdemeanor assault in his domestic violence case. And I don't know, he's got a smirky kind of mugshot. He was released on $1,500 bond and is rescheduled to be arraigned tomorrow in Dallas.
What I'm surprised about is, right, according to the allegations, the ex-girlfriend said that he threatened her, restrained her, and hit her in the head, causing her to lose hearing in one of her ears. So the fact,
right,
that this is filed as a misdemeanor is actually kind of shocking, because when you lose one of your senses, it clearly is a felony offense. So he should be very lucky and feeling very fortunate that his bond was only $1,500, that he is being charged with a misdemeanor. And for a misdemeanor in Texas, this is a misdemeanor class A, you can serve up to a year in the county jail, which he will not get, and a $4,000 fine.
It's amazing. I mean, he's living the life. He was the 22nd overall pick of the NFL draft in 2014. And as we said, All-American football quarterback. And I went to the Cleveland Browns, and it's just been a hot mess ever since. Mr. Football, he had the life, but he just keeps rolling out the wrong way.
I'm going to make a prediction on your show.
Go ahead.
I do not think there will be a conviction in this case. I think that all too often in cases like this, the victim will recant. I don't know if there'll be any hush money paid. I don't know anything about, I'm not familiar with either of the parties, but it seems all too often that in cases like this, the victim decides that they're not going to come forward. And so even though I think that this case was improperly filed, if in fact she lost her hearing and it should be a felony, I doubt that we'll see a conviction.
All right. Well, we'll stand by you, Allison Treasel. You're the best criminal defense attorney from Los Angeles. Wild About Trial is her site. And I know we'll talk again soon because they'll always make more, won't they?
Every day is a good day for you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Allison. Have a good rest of the week.
All right. Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right. Let's take a break and we'll be back. We're going to talk. What happens when you speed up records and they sound like Stevie Nicks? Why is that a thing? How'd that happen? It's really weird, people. And what did Mark Cuban have to say today about Donald Trump's big win last night and running away with the GOP nominee, the nomination, basically? That's on the way on the Drex Radio Show. And then Lisa Durden at 8 o'clock to really roll us through the nighttime. Coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. But first, with a look at traffic, here is Lee Graham.
The action. The 4th, a day when we celebrate all things Star Wars.
We do.
Hey, Force Awakens fans, you want to hear something crazy? Do you? Well, a long time ago, in a decade far, far away, there existed another Star Wars movie, which also featured a restless young hero stranded on a desert planet who encountered an adorable droid carrying an important message that triggered an interstellar adventure that led to a battle with an angry supervillain in a black mask and the destruction of an evil orb in space. Does that sound familiar? Well, that's because J.J. Abrams ripped it off from George Lucas. So remember, kids, you're celebrating a lie. It was done before. It was done better. And anyone who claims otherwise needs their face slammed deep into a book called Know Your F***ing Damn Sci-Fi History, you f***ing ungrateful Bernie Sanders-loving monocle-wearing mustache-waxing hipsters! Ah, may the 4th be with you!
All right, and then we have Game of Thrones between Hillary and the Donald. Doesn't get any better than that. I can't keep up. So obviously he's referencing the 1977 Star Wars, and those of us who, like me, who have never kept up, I don't know. I'm just not in your geekdom world, Brian Pelletier.
It's fine.
So what's the big one that I'm expecting this weekend? It's Captain America versus Iron Man. Is that right?
That's right. Civil War.
Oh, it's Civil War.
Yeah.
Well,
Captain America Civil War is the title of the movie. It's going to be great.
Well, Iron Man.
Have you
Man,
seen the trailers?
Yes, but I am Robert Downey Jr. super fan. And all so right. Iron Man will absolutely beat. Look, here's the thing. Do you even know the dude's name who is Captain America? You don't. Does anybody?
It's no. Chris something.
It's Chris something.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't know how Captain America beats Iron Man.
And well, he has a whole team.
This is just nonstop. This is nuts. Like a month ago, it was Batman versus Superman. But no one, it's not a spoiler now. No one won. But they weren't supposed to, were they?
Nobody won? No, nobody's going to win this one either. I mean, it's just, they're going to go head-to-head. It's going to be awesome.
All
fans
these Civil
of,
Wars.
I think fans of both characters will really get into it.
Are we going to have other superheroes in this Civil War?
Yeah, I mean, they're all in it. All of the Avengers that you've seen in the movies, most of them are in it.
I don't know. Oh, Abe Lincoln's not in it.
Okay. No, he's not. But I don't think the whole Spider-Man's going to be in this one.
Spider-Man?
Yeah. Okay. So
who's playing Spider-Man? Isn't this a little disturbing this time? Is it Michael Keaton?
No, it's the new. Oh. No.
Something weird.
But
going
it is
on.
The person that they signed to be the new Spider-Man.
I thought Michael
in a
Keaton.
New series of movies that's going to be rebooted in coming years. So now this is like the third time it's been rebooted since I was a teenager. So.
Right. So it's even difficult for someone like yourself to keep up.
Yeah, and they're basically they always start with the same story, like I got bit by a spider.
Okay, so now one is this one DC or is this Marvel?
Oh, this is Marvel.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Batman versus
Superman is DC.
It was DC.
So the better movies generally come from Marvel.
Well, okay, that was my go-to question. So which studio is winning that Civil War?
So It's interesting. Marvel is its own studio. It's owned by Universal, I think.
Okay. Well, then it's not its own. It's
Universal. They have all the Marvel characters except for the X-Men, which are owned by Fox. So there's an X-Men movie coming out, I think, in July.
I like X-Men. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There's a new X-Men movie coming out in July, which also looks pretty decent. And so that's Fox-owned, and this is Universal-owned. So they're the same creators, just different properties. They've been split.
And Star Wars is owned by Disney.
That's right, yeah. So, and they're coming out with a new Star Wars movie, I think, at the end of this year.
Yes, yeah. So it's another one.
Yeah.
There's no... And by the way, the trailer looks even better than I think The Force Awakens, although I have...
Really?
The cable company's really pissing me off. Let me tell you something. So I've been trying to watch this damn Star Wars movie for a month now. Now, every other movie that they put up there for on demand... You can rent that sucker for $4.99 in like 2 weeks. I see it. It's up there. Bye, bye, bye. You did this with Interstellar. It drove me out of my mind. Okay. And then, well, Interstellar. When did Interstellar come out? I don't know. I gave in. I was pissed. It was Christmas. And I just said, to hell with it. I'm buying. No, that was The Martian.
Yeah.
Okay. Interstellar was last year. And I remembered I got drunk on a weekend. And I said, oh, screw you. I'm paying. Plus, I don't pay the cable bill. And then I get this. Who watched Interstellar? Who bought this movie? I did. I helped pay the rent. Okay, so same thing here with Force Awakens. Dude, it's been up there for like 4 or 5 weeks now. I just want to rent it. I don't want to buy it.
Well, how much is it?
It's $20.
Oh, God.
Yeah. $20.99.
I mean, you're better off just buying it at that price.
I'm not buying it.
All right.
I have The Martian and Interstellar on there forever. I still can't get through The Martian. I don't know. I don't understand why. And then who was the celebrity that... Oh, it was Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift during the 73 questions from En Vogue. Which movie makes you cry? Martian. Oh, my God. She goes, oh, my God, The Martian. It makes you cry.
Why?
It makes me cry that I paid $20. Except it doesn't.
Because I don't pay the cable bill.
And she uses way too many paper towels and toilet paper.
Hopefully she's not listening tonight.
I know.
Or you're in trouble.
I've been in trouble lately, I guess. Yeah, well, that's what happens when I'm getting healthy again. I start noticing things. All right. Should we break out the Trump? Oh, I want to do this. Mark Cuban had a great take on Donald Trump today. Listen to this. So it's Trump versus Hillary. We know that. It's a foregone conclusion. So this is what he was talking to Neil Cavuto on Fox.
It's not about issues at all. A lot of people could care less. All they care about is, what are you going to do for me? And Donald addressed immigration. He addressed, you know, trade. He addressed all these things. No substance whatsoever. But he said to people who were concerned about themselves, I can fix it. I can fix it.
But is that good enough? I mean, eventually you have to spell out your plan, right?
No, I don't think you do.
Okay, that's interesting.
This is going to be Donald Trump is going to run the Seinfeld campaign. It's going to be the campaign about nothing.
And you're okay with that?
It is what it is. It's not a question of whether or not I'm okay with it.
I love that. He's just nailed it. That is brilliant. It's going to be, and Donald Trump's entire campaign, even if you're supporting him, just agree. I know you won't anyway, but anyway, this is the way I'm having it in my head. It's been a campaign about nothing. So if he's smart, he will continue to make this campaign against Hillary about nothing. Do yourself a favor and don't talk about policy. Remember that speech, that policy speech he gave with the Tanzania?
Still trying to wake up from that.
I don't know. Yeah, with the teleprompter, that didn't work. So then Cuban went on to talk about this whole thing being tribal.
There are people out there that want to know, what are you going to do for them? They don't trust government. And if they already know the government is not going to do what they need to help them get jobs or help protect them, then let's turn to somebody who may not get into any detail whatsoever, but at least it sounds like he's going to try to answer the what about me question. And now, like I said, it's going to be a Seinfeld campaign, you know, the campaign about nothing. Because the more Donald talks about issues, the more it plays right into the hand of Hillary, and the more the eyes of his what about me tribe glazes over.
He's so right. I don't even think we're partisan anymore. I think we're all tribal. Yeah. It's like the mob mentality. That's what it is. And I love how he laid it out there. Yes, it's the Seinfeld. This is the Seinfeld election.
But if that's the case and nobody really cares about issues, that's a sad state of...
No. People do, but this is advice to Donald. Keep on doing talking about nothing. Just run your mouth. You know, make fun of Hillary.
I mean, ultimately, he's going to have to make some decisions, though.
Don't let her tackle you on policy. All right, I got to take a break. We're going to come back with Lisa Durden, and we're going to stir the pot like we always do on the Drex Radio Show.